On this 26th day of June, 2011, in Flagstaff, Arizona, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We're reading today from 4th Canto, Chapter 22, Pitu Maharaj's meeting with the four Kumaras. And I'm going to read one verse in the purport, and I'm going to read a little bit from another verse. So since we don't have a board, we'll just do one word phrase at a time. Artendriyaramo.
Artendriyaramo.
Sagoshti.
Sagoshti.
Atrishnaya.
Atrishnaya.
Tatsammatanam.
Tatsammatanam.
Aparigrahena.
Aparigrahena.
Cha.
Cha.
Vivikta.
Vivikta.
Ruchya.
Ruchya.
Paritosha. Atmani,
Atmani,
Vina,
Vina,
Harer,
Harer,
Gunapiyusha,
Gunapiyusha,
Panat,
Panat.
Translation: one has to make progress in spiritual life by not associating with persons. One has to make progress in spiritual life by not associating with persons who are simply interested in sense gratification and making money. Not only such persons, but one who associates with such persons should be avoided. Now listen to this line, one of my favorite lines. One should mold his life in such a way that he cannot live in peace without drinking the nectar of the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. One can be thus elevated by being disgusted with the taste for sense enjoyment. See the Prabhupada's purport? In the material world, everyone is interested in money and sense gratification. The only objective is to earn as much money as possible and utilize it for satisfaction of the senses. Srila Sukadeva Goswami thus described the activities of the materialistic persons. Nidriya riyate naktam vivayena cha bhavayah diva chartaheya rajan kutumba balanenava. This is a typical example of materialistic persons. At night, they waste their time by sleeping more than 6 hours or by wasting time in sex indulgence. This is their occupation at night. And in the morning, they go to their office or business place just to earn money. As soon as there is some money, they become busy in purchasing things for their children and others. Such persons are never interested in understanding the values of life. What is God? What is the individual soul? What is its relationship with God, etc.? Things are degraded to such an extent that those who are supposed to be religious are also, at the present moment, interested only in sense gratification. The number of materialistic persons in this age of Kali has increased more than in any other age. Therefore, persons who are interested in going back home, back to Godhead, should not only engage in the service of realized souls, but should give up the company of materialistic persons whose only aim is to earn money and employ it in sense gratification. They should also not accept the objectives of materialistic persons, namely money and sense gratification. Therefore, it is stated, Bhakti Padesha Nobhavo Viraktir Anyatra Cha, Bhagavatam 11.2.42. To advance in devotional service, one should be uninterested in the materialistic way of life. That which is the subject matter of satisfaction for the devotees is of no interest to the non-devotees. Simple negation or giving up the company of materialistic persons will not do. We must have engagements. Sometimes it is found that a person interested in spiritual advancement gives up the company of material society and goes to a secluded place, as recommended for the yogis especially. But that will also not help a person in spiritual advancement, for in many instances, such yogis also fall down. As far as jnanis are concerned, generally they fall down without taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. The impersonalists or the voidists can simply avoid the positive material association. They cannot remain fixed in transcendence without being engaged in devotional service. The beginning of devotional service is to hear about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is recommended in this verse, Vina Hader Guna Piyusha Panat. One must drink the nectar of the glories of the Supreme Lord And this means that one must be always engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. It is the prime method for advancing in spiritual life. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also recommended this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. If one wants to make advancements in spiritual life, by great fortune he may meet a bona fide spiritual master and from him learn about Krishna. By serving both the spiritual master and Krishna, he gets the seed of devotional service, the bhakti lata bij. And if one sows the seed within his heart and waters it by hearing and chanting, it grows into a luxuriant bhakti lata, or bhakti creeper. The creeper is so strong that it penetrates the covering of the universe and reaches the spiritual world and continues to grow on and on until it reaches and takes shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Just as an ordinary creeper also grows on and on until it takes a solid shelter on a roof, then it very steadily grows and produces the required fruit. The real cause of the growing of such fruit, which is here called the nectar of hearing the glories of the Lord, is to water the creeper of devotional service by hearing and chanting. The purport is that one cannot live outside the society of devotees. One must live in the association of devotees where there is constant chanting and hearing of the glories of the Lord. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is started for this purpose so that hundreds of ISKCON centers may give people a chance to hear and chant, to accept the spiritual master, and to disassociate themselves from persons who are materially interested. For in this way, one can make solid advancement in going back home, back to Godhead. Om jnana timanandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshu unmidatam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master Srila Prabhupada opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance unto him and to all members of Sri Parampara. So this is a very nice verse spoken by Sanat Kumara to a great king, King Prithu. King Prithu was already a realized soul. He was a partial expansion of Krishna. But as behooves every king, even ones who are transcendentally situated, when the Kumaras came, these four Kumaras came, he offered them all respect and worshipped them and inquired from them about the ultimate goal of life and how to achieve it. This is the main question that one should ask of someone who is possessed of transcendental knowledge. Why am I suffering? How can I get out of it? What is the goal of life, the actual goal of life, and how could one achieve it? How can one achieve it? So this is near the beginning of his instructions to Maharaj Prithu. And he talks about two very important points here. One is that the key element of association. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in the second chapter, Sangat Sanjayate Kama. Sangat Sanjayate Kama. And it has different meanings, but one of the meanings of that phrase that has been given by Acharyas is that as you associate, so you develop your desires. It's not a mystery. If you hang out with people who are into drugs and drinking and whatever, you'll also get into that, you know. And then you'll in turn, by your association, get others into it. There's a parampara of that also. But if you have good association, if you eschew that association, reject it, and you go to associate with saintly persons who are have knowledge of transcendental matters and are practicing, then you'll develop those qualities. And Sangha goes even deeper than that, because everything is personal. When we chant the holy name, when we look at the deity, when we serve, that's an association as well. As we explained, in Krishna gives us his association through his holy name, through his representatives, through the deity form, through the prasadam, through this whole movement is a means by which Krishna gives his association. And it's established by great devotees such as Srila Prabhupada. They are media by which Krishna makes himself accessible, manifesting through these elements I mentioned. So that's the association we need to search for and strive for, eschewing other association. There's a very nice verse in the fifth chapter that is called to mind by Jadabharata. He's speaking to a king, King Rahugana, teaching him. And he talks about this benefits of sangha, of good association, and the benefits of giving up bad association. Tasma naro sangha su sangha jata gyanasine naiva vivikna moha hadin tadiha katanashutabhyam labda smati yatati paramarguna. Very nice verse. Prabhupada does this little purport, explains this is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement, just like it is here. So what does that word mean, that verse mean? It means, therefore, he says, by asanga and susanga, these two things. Asanga means dissociation from those which bring us, those things and people which bring us down. And susanga means association with devotees. So by those two things, one develops the sword of knowledge, because you will be exposed to the transcendental sound vibration. And if you're here and chant and you plant that seed of bhakti in your heart and water it nicely by hearing and chanting and good association, it starts to flourish. And one of the things that flourishes is your knowledge, transcendental knowledge, which he compares you to a sword that you can cut off all illusion. Because we're beset by illusion, moha. Maya has infected us. We don't know who we are. We don't know what the goal of life is. We don't know who God is. We don't know anything. So that illusion has to be cut off, and knowledge has to be manifested. So that illusion is dissipated, and by hearing and chanting, hading tadiha katano shutabhyam, the glories of Hari, just as Sanat Kumar is speaking here. Hading tadiha, iha means activities or pastimes. Katana shutabhyam, labda smriti. This is a great, great word. It means one regains one's memory. It's just like someone who has get knocked on the head in a car accident and wakes up, where am I? Heaven forbid, you know, if I'm driving on this 93, you know, the road in the middle of nowhere, and we have a little accident and get knocked on the head, I have no idea where I am, who I am, what is anything. Amnesia. We're like that. The trauma of coming to this world, being born again and again and again, we've forgotten everything. But there is a memory deep inside our subconscious, if you will, the soul, of everything. Krishna's form, Krishna's activities, our relationship with Krishna, our place in Krishna Lila, that's in there, but we've long forgotten it due to being in this material world. So these activities, as just described by Judd Bart, and same thing here with Sanat Kumar. You regain your memory. I'm just going over again. Giving up bad association. What happens if you have amnesia? They try to bring you back and remind you of who... This is your family. Look, this is the job you had. You see, here's a picture from before. You know, of who you were. Don't you remember? Oh, yeah. Now I remember. This was my name. This was my job. Oh, there's my child. Yeah. Is it? You have to be reminded by good association. If you don't get that association, you're bewildered. You have no way to know who you really are. So similarly, all of these facilities remind us, hearing and chanting, giving up bad association, good. And then, yat yati paramadvana, one progresses nicely on the path back to Godhead. That's all in this verse. So back to the present verse, of Sanat Kumara. Now, he says, giving up that bad association, one should mold his life in such a way that he cannot live in peace without drinking the nectar of the glorification of Krishna. That, I just love that line. That's what this movement is all about. That's what Prabhupada's life is all about. All he did was glorify Krishna in every way possible. And he tried to expand the sangha of those who are glorifying Krishna. This is the whole meaning of this movement. This is the Sankirtan movement. We're out there last night, you know, singing at the top of our lungs, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know. And people are going by, you know, they have their own ideas. They're blocked, mostly, but they have to hear at least. Some are responding in some way or other, you know. But we're making an effort by, you know, to serve Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda in that way, and expand the Sangha, just as we've been expanded. I wasn't born a devotee. I don't think anyone in this room was, maybe Jagadish. But, you know, we also were drawn into the Sangha, and by good association, by the chanting, association with the holy name. That's also the most important. Sangat Sanjayate Kama. By associating with the holy name, you develop a desire to know more about Krishna. and ultimately a desire to serve Krishna, desire to serve the spiritual master. You see? So let's go through this purport. So one should mold his life in such a way. In other words, one has to move toward giving up bad good association and simply hearing and chanting and glorifying in many other ways, 24 hours a day. So, now in the purport, Prabhupada quotes in the second canto. This also talks about the subject matters for hearing. Everything depends on the subject matters, what we're hearing and reading and thinking about. That's everything. So, at the beginning of the second canto, or rather at the end of the first canto, Parikshit Maharaj asks these questions of Shukadev. And one main question. Anyone have an idea what it is? What should one think about, hear about, chant about, do as death approaches? Because Parikshit was faced with that. 7 days. What's he going to do in that 7 days? Right? And so after asking that question, the very beginning of the first canto, Shukadev praises that question. Vadiyanasyate prashna kuto lokahatam napa. The question is so nice that by the answer, the whole everyone is benefited. Not only the hearer and the speaker, but those who listen. And that's what's going on in the speaking of the Bhagavatam. Shukadev is speaking, Parikshit is hearing, and so are so many other sages. You know the story. Everyone came to the bank of the Ganges to hear. So it's a wonderful, wonderful question. You know. But, by contrast, Shota Vyajani Rajendra Ninang Santi Sahasacha Apashtatam Atmatatman Griheshu Grihamedinam. Those who are Griheshu Grihamedinam who are simply concerned with materialistic things. They may be in household life or not, but they're simply absorbed in sense gratification. They have unlimited subject matters for hearing and reading and thinking about. Is it any mystery? Get on the internet. Or books, everything. There's unlimited subject matters. And then he describes what their activities are, and that's the third verse here. At night, sleeping or having sex, during the day, earning money, on the weekend, shopping. That's what's going on, basically, in this world. So that's not the life of a human being. There's no advancement there. There's rather degradation, as Rishabha said. So that's not what human life is for. We have to realize that there's a mission, there's a purpose to the human life. We have the greater intelligence, we can understand these things, and we can change our consciousness by our will. The intelligence can be strengthened and we don't have to simply go downstream and become degraded. So probably this is typical. He describes that. Therefore, he says, bhakti padesha no bhava varakte anyatra cha. Now what he's quoting here, I think I mentioned this verse before, maybe not in this context. This is a verse from the 11th canto spoken by the 9 yogendras to King Nimi. And they're describing the effects of devotional service. They compare it to sitting down to a nice prasadam feast and eating. So three things happen simultaneously when you take prasadam. Right? It's very satisfying, especially they've been fasting all day, like on the Nrisimha's appearance day, fast till twilight. So it's very satisfying, tasting all the wonderful preparations. At the same time, you're nourished physically, right? You start to get enlivened, energy. And you're detached from everything else. As you relish that prasadam, you're not thinking of anything else. And even the thirst is going also. The hunger is going as you eat. So, in this verse, it's bhakti padesha nubha virakti anirta cha. There are three things there that happen practically simultaneously. For one who is surrendered to the Lord and is serving nicely. The bhakti is experienced. Bhakti in this instance, in this context, means the feeling, the actual rasa, the pleasure of serving the Lord and reciprocating with Him. That's bhakti rasa. At the same time, pada isha anubhava, one perceives the Lord. In the advanced stage, one can see face to face, Prabhupada assures us. That's nourishment for the soul. Anytime we see the Lord, or you come before the deities, if you see in a big temple, or you see, or you just chant your rounds, you're nourishing the soul. You feel nourished. Feel enlivened. You know, and even before taking prasadam, you feel energized. And then, you become detached from everything else. Vairagya develops because you're tasting, getting the higher taste. So that, Srila Prabhupada says, we have to go for that. We have to arrange our life in such a way that we enter into that sangha and can begin to experience these things. Because without bhakti, there's no renunciation. It's false. You may try to restrain yourself from things that you know are bad from you. But if you develop an attraction or even an addiction to them, you'll eventually come back without getting the higher taste, right? Without calling on the higher power. Isn't that what AA is all about? I went to a meeting one time, not because I was drunk, but because we had this... You were there for Jamie? You remember Jamie? Anyway, you may be a little... Anyway, we had this fellow who came to the temple in San Diego, and he was from... He had been to AA. Somehow he was attracted to the temple and the chanting. And I didn't know this, but right up the street on Cass is this big AA establishment. You know, they meet there. So it's interesting because it's similar to what we do. We recognize the higher power, right? 12 steps, good association. You come together, you know, and confess and say, yes, I've been clean for 1 month, 2 weeks, whatever, you know, or dry, whatever they call it, you know. And in this way, you're trying to develop the strength, and it's calling on a higher power. The idea is that I can't do it alone, right? I need the mercy of God. I need the strength that's given by God. Or if you don't believe in God, that's all right. You know, this AA itself is your higher power. You know, they try to bring everyone in there. So that's what we should do also. You know, because we're in the thrall. We're in the clutches of Maya. You know, we're trying to get out. And she will release us if we approach Krishna in the proper mood and surrender. But if we don't, then we're going to remain in the clutches. Means that we will not be able to give up all these bad habits. So that's what's being spoken of here. It's very much practical. So Prabhupada says, simply negation will not do. There has to be the positive element. And then he says, the impersonalists can't do it because they don't have the nectar of the holy name, the prasadam, the sangha, the leela of Krishna. All of this, they see as maya. That's why they're called mayavadis. The form of Krishna is just maya. It's just illusory. All form is illusory, right? You know? No. You know? So they throw out the whole conception of form and activities and love and dancing and everything because they think it's maya. But what do they have left? Pure spirit. Let me merge into Brahman. And I won't have a physical body. I won't have a mental body. You know? And that way I'll be free from all suffering. But that's no platform to live eternally. It's nightmarish. You know, who is speaking? Is it in San Diego? Sorry, I'm mixing. That someone was saying they met someone who they were on their way. I think it was Bhishma was sleeping to a session of sensory deprivation meditation. They were actually paying money to go into a tank.
Oh, the tanks, yeah.
Yeah, to go into a tank of water that's heated to 98.6, you know, which is your body temperature. And then you don't see anything, you know, and everything. And that way, you'll attain Satori or Nirvana or something. You'll advance somewhere. But that's, how long can you remain in the tank? when your session is over, your money is gone, and you have to come out of the tank and back you go. So it's just like that. These impersonalists try to merge into Brahman, sensory deprivation. You know, everything is nice. I don't even have a body anymore. I am that I am. You know, I exist. They achieve a sat. But the nature of the soul, the intrinsic nature of the soul, is to be a person with senses and activities, loving exchange, you know. So this is completely artificial. And eventually you come back down again. And believe it or not, there's a verse about that. Where the demigods are praying to Krishna in the womb. And they say, Prabhupada quotes this verse. In fact, he's quoting it here, though he's not quoting the Sanskrit. He says, besides the devotees, there are others, O Lotus Eye Lord, who are of impure intelligence. They're envious of you. And they don't worship your lotus feet. They're averse to that. And even if they, this is the impersonalist, and even if they rise up, a few rise up to the Brahman platform by great austerities. Aruha Kutrena. Kutrena, you can practically hear it in the word. Very strong austerities, you know. Go to isolated, no sex, no possibility. You know, you go into the mountain stream in the middle of the winter, practically break through the ice, you know. In the middle of the hot summer, you know, you go outside, it was 115 degrees. Okay, Bhishma Dev, okay. We're going to get out of the car, and we're going to go out into the desert and just sit there in 115 degrees and meditate. That's the idea. To just burn out any desire in the body. This is the kind of austerities they have to perform. And a few who actually succeed, they go up to Brahman platform, but they can't stay there. They come back down again. It's boring. How long can you just remain in the sensory deprivation chamber? You go nuts. Anyway, so Prabhupada says, we need the lila, we need the activities for our senses, we need Krishna's pastimes and holy name, we need the sangha, we need the prasadam. We need stuff to do for Krishna that will eventually blossom into pure love for Krishna, and then we'll taste that forever, eternally. That you can taste eternally. Because it's always fresh, it's always new activity. But in order to do that, we have to give up the material activity. That's the caveat. So it goes on. Vina hare guna piyushapana. Now he comes back to the verse. The beginning of devotional service, the beginning of devotional service is to hear about the glories of the Lord. That's recommended here. One must drink the nectar of the glories of the Supreme Lord. And this means that one must always be engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna. It is the prime method for advancement in spiritual life. Lord Chaitanya recommended this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then he talks about meeting a spiritual master. So the seed has to be planted. Because right now we have no idea about this. So somewhere along the way, that seed of the instructions of the holy name, the process, has to be planted. It can be planted via these books. Prabhupada is in these books. You know, there are stories. I read this story recently because Vijay sends me all of these wonderful emails about, you know, Sankirtan adventures all over the world. There was a devotee in Russia. He got a book secondhand, so he never really met the devotees. But he got the book. He got a book of Prabhupada. I don't know what book it was. Maybe it was the Gita or something else. And so he gets this book. He's totally convinced. And he reads in the book how important it is to spread the word. Book distribution, you know. So he goes and has it copied. You know, I don't know how he had it copied. It must have been very expensive. 100, 200 copies of that particular book. Maybe it was Journey in Russian, I don't know. And he becomes a book distributor. And this other devotee during the marathon, the Prabhupada marathon in December, he's traveling to different cities, Siberia, wherever it was, you know, some remote, it's vast. Russia's a vast country. And he meets this other fellow and he tries to distribute him a book. And he says, I'm already doing that. And he says, well, how did that happen? And he describes his whole pastime, you know, this whole experience. How he got the book secondhand. He didn't even know there were temples or devotees. All he knew, he had this book and he was supposed to spread the word. Practically, he was initiated by Prabhupada. You know, he was infused with that knowledge. He was ready for it and he became inspired. So what I'm saying is that the seed can be planted in many ways. But that seed of inspiration, the knowledge, and the holy name, the faith in the holy name, is planted. We have to water the garden. There's a garden in the heart. Now, there's a lot of weeds in that garden right now. That was the material desires, anartas, unwanted things, aparads, offenses. But there is also a seed of the bhakti lata, the creeper of devotion. And that's watered nicely by hearing and chanting. And simultaneously, we got to pull up the weeds by avoiding the offenses and like that. And not letting other seeds to be planted again. Or, you know, the material desire seeds. This is a desire creeper, bhakti lata. Now, it eventually produces the fruit. Prabhupada said, quoting the CC, it breaks through the covering of the universe. In other words, by this means alone, watering that creeper, we can go back to Godhead. That's the chief means. And that breaks through the covering and eventually takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet and produces this wonderful fruit of love of God, which you can taste forever. You know, it's eternal. So that's the whole point. So wonderful analogy given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, chapter 19, Madhya Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's like, I feel like I'm with Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
how can I get a Chaitanya Charita? Where is it? You don't have one here, right? Yet. Yeah. So you should really feel the need for that Chaitanya Charita. There is a lot of wonderful nectar in that Chaitanya Charita. It will manifest shortly. You will see.
I hope so.
Yeah. So this is the purpose of the society. To create the facility for good association, watering that seed, letting that creeper flourish, pulling out the weeds, so that we can make advancement. Now, I'm going to read one more verse, maybe just the translation there. Well, no, part of the purport. On the other hand, Sanat Kumara says, when one's mind and senses are attracted to sense objects with enjoyment, the mind becomes agitated as a result of continually thinking of sense objects, one's real consciousness almost becomes lost, like the water in the lake that is gradually sucked up by the big grass straws on its bank. Now he explains here that our consciousness is originally pure. It's become impure by association with the modes of nature here. We're originally pure in the spiritual world. Now we're in this contaminated state. So we have to purify that consciousness, which is comparative to water. But if we allow our mind to continually seek a sense gratification, then we can't do it. So then there's this line in here. When the mind is allowed to think of sense gratification continuously, the mind, becomes the cause of our material bondage. If our mind is simply filled with sense gratification, even though, listen now, Alex, even though, if the mind is continually filled with sense gratification, even though we want Krishna consciousness, by continuous practice, we cannot forget the subject matter of sense gratification. If one takes up the sannyasa order of life, but is not able to control the mind, he will think of objects of sense gratification, family, society, expensive home. Even though he goes to the Himalayas or the forest, his mind will continually think of the objects of sense gratification. In this way, gradually one's intelligence is affected, and when intelligence is affected, one loses his original taste for Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada, by this time in the movement, you can trace, if you know what to look for, you know, Prabhupada's relating the experiences of the Hare Krishna movement in the purports. He's writing these books for the 12 years, you know, or 10 years, more or less. And by this time, some of his sannyasis had already gone away, you know. And sannyasi was awarded after someone showed advancement in Krishna consciousness and in spreading the movement. And yet, somehow or other, if you allow sense gratification to come in again and you dwell on it, then it can take you down away from, you know, exalted position. So this is a very instructive, I thought, I always was impressed by this information in this purport, that there's a war going on. There's a battle in our own hearts, whether we're going to embrace Krishna consciousness or we're going to embrace Maya. And we've been habituated to embracing Maya for many, many lifetimes. So it's not easy to break that conditioning. And the only way to do it is by strengthening the intelligence, taking shelter of a spiritual master, and actually cultivating that higher taste by intense Krishna consciousness. Then you get the spiritual strength to reject our habituated sense gratification. But if you're lackadaisical in the sadhana, then all those thoughts and those temptations will be very powerful and will be a great impediment in advancement. So it's very practical, and we should know that we're on a path that leads to the unending happiness and bliss. That's the goal of this, of any genuine religion. Not here in this world. Religion is not meant for making a prosperous life or a comfortable life in this world. You know, that's said right in the second chapter. Dharma se yapavargas, anato tayopakalpate. Dharma is meant for liberation at the lotus feet of Krishna ultimately. Not for making money. And whatever money does come has to be used for the sake of Krishna. Otherwise it becomes a source of fallback. So it's very strict, this whole process. But, you know, anything you want to get in this world, you have to perform austerities. Just look at these people who are striving to make so much money and get ahead in business, sports, anything. So much austerity is gone. Because at the end of the whole process, at the end of the rainbow, you know, for most of them it's a pot of gold, fame and money, or whatever, something material. But between there and here, there's a lot of work, austerity, renunciation, you know. But the other thing is material, it doesn't really satisfy. It's fool's gold. But this is real gold. This is real gold, and it's worth striving for and undergoing the difficulties, which we know come to an end. It's not that it'll be difficulty forever. At the end, there's no austerity. There's nothing. There's just kirtan and serving Krishna, cavorting in the forest forever. You know, that's the goal of this whole process is play. Leela. We want to enter into the Leela. But that's actually it, of Krishna. But it has to be Krishna's Leela. We can't be our idea. Then we're in Maya. This is not constitutional. Our constitutional position is to enhance Krishna's pleasure in his Leela. And then we get so much pleasure by doing that. Yeah. Okay, I went there. I don't want to keep haranguing you. Any questions or comments on these few points? I always love this section of Bhagavatam. Yeah.
Thank you. So is there an idea amongst the Mayavads Brahman is that they're going to enter that eternally? Isn't that...
They hope to.
So, if it's certain they're going to fall down, then is there an idea of how long it's possible to remain there? Or is that kind of just
You know, the thing, you have to always remember that time is relative.
Yeah, it is.
You know, they may be up there for 1,000,000 years, but so what? You know, what's that compared to eternity?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The problem is that they have a deep aversion, and this is mentioned in the verse, to serving Krishna. They have a misconception. If you want to, you know, there's a really nice purport in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 10, where Prabhupada talks about the different people who don't come to Krishna consciousness because of raga, baya, and krodha. In that verse it says, vita raga baya krodha, which appears several times in the Bhagavad Gita. Means one has to give up material attachment, fear, and anger. And then he expands in that purport on each of those three and how they prevent certain classes of people from being Krishna conscious. So raga is a general thing. You know, those who are too much involved in sense gratification, then the Krishna consciousness, self-realization, you know. Who cares? I got my next thing I got to worry about. The mind is fixed on either enjoying or making arrangements for enjoyment. You know? Or, you know, anger because it's not happening, or fear because it's being taken away. But so that's the gross materialist. Then there's the bhaya. Now bhaya is fear, and that's what the maya bodies are in. Because the general point of impersonal realization is that we know that material life is full of misery. Birth, death, old age, and disease. Threefold miseries, right? That's a given. They understand reincarnation. You know, that's certainly understand that. They're jnanis, after all. So, therefore, anything that has to do with senses, with the body, is going to keep us bound here. If we engage our senses, if we taste something very nice, if we see a beautiful form, if we hear nice music, that's maya. That's keeping us here. We'll be attached. And that'll bring us back. So the only way to get free is by stopping all those things. Stopping seeing beautiful things, tasting beautiful things. And therefore, they don't differentiate between the nice taste of a pakora that's been offered to Krishna as prasadam and a pakora you buy on the street in Delhi from some shop. You know? It's just a pakora. Form, beauty, yeah, Krishna's beautiful, but it's still beauty, it's still maya, it keeps you here. You see the problem. So they don't want to have a body. No form. I don't have a form. I'm just spirit. Aham Brahmasmi. Spirit has no form. This is formlessness. And they think that is higher than bhakti. I met one guy. I met a genuine mayavadi before I joined. And he was trying to convince me that bhakti, I was starting to get involved in with the devotees, is meant for the emotional masses. The real refined thing is jnana, you know, beyond all of this dancing and chanting and business. This is what he was actually trying to convince me of that. And luckily I didn't go for it, you know, I wouldn't be here. But they're very dour, you know, these guys are not happy. I remember in Vrindavan, they like to go to Vrindavan, the Mayavadis, believe it or not. Because that's where the action is, you know. That's but they're still Mayavadis. So I remember distinctly. I'm in Vrindavan village, and going to Lloyd Bazaar or something, you know. And there's these, there was three of them, three or four of them, with the classic, the tilak, you know, this way, Shaivite, you know. But they're my impersonalists. All dressed in orange. I mean, they're some renunciants, you know, they're serious. But their faces, yeah, were like, they were angry. They didn't have the bliss of a bhakta, you know, what to speak of an advanced devotee. You know, they weren't enjoying themselves. They weren't enjoying the bliss of Krishna consciousness. They were, I don't know what they were thinking, but they were miserable.
Hardcore.
Yeah, they certainly weren't attractive to me. You know, I don't know who would be attracted to them. I don't know if they even like each other, you know. But the point was is that it's artificial. It's completely artificial. So that's gyan. They're afraid, baya, of any kind of form. And then there's the krodha side. Krodha means anger, and this is the voidus and Buddhists, and those who think nothing is real, nothing is true, you know, and they're angry. Why? Because they've been cheated too many times by false preachers of this philosophy, that philosophy, you see. And so they generally say, you know, everything ultimately is void, or there's no truth, everything is relative, you know. They also, they're frustrated, become angry. So if you get too much into those things, you can't become Krishna conscious. This is the block. You have to give it up. I mean, each of us probably came from one of those platforms, you know, probably raga, you know, certainly raga. But fortunately, we came in touch with a devotee rather than in touch with someone who would feed that, either the raga or the baya or the krodha, and we get deviated, you know. So that's what Prabhupada is talking about. The Mayavadis, yeah, they may go, you know, some few, mostly they're dilettantes, you know. There's no serious, there's very few serious Mayavadis around, you know, because it's so hard. They come, they do some welfare work, you know, they have to have some interaction. All right, so we'll do some mundane welfare work. That's what happened in Ramakrishna Mission, you know. Even this guy, Sai Baba, big, huge welfare work. We build hospitals all over, you know. Why? You know, it's, I mean, okay, that's good, but that has nothing to do with transcending this material world. The guy was, anyway, I don't want to get into him. He had a website, I got on a website once. He was claiming to be Krishna. He had somebody writing his Leela based on the 10th canto, trying to impose him into Krishna's Leela, believe it or not. Hare Krishna. Any other question or comment? Yes.
So would it be better, does that mean to say it would be better to be a materialist than a Maya?
Because yes, it would, actually.
Mayavads are like farther off.
Mayavads are big offenders. Gross materialists, you know, if they come in touch with a devotee, you know, they may, you know, if they have a little piety, a little something in the background, they'll, all right, let's go to the Hare Krishna's and get a free feast or something, you know. You know, the Mayavadis, they know, oh no, that's bhakti. They won't come. You see what I'm saying? But the materialists, they don't know. Okay, what's pleasurable? Well, these guys are pretty cool. Just like last night. You know, all right, we'll dance with them. He's playing the drum nicely, you know. So they dance. That's all.
Yeah.
So they're you know, they're much better off. Prabhupada says the demigod worshippers are much better off than the Mayavadis, because at least they know to worship. They worship Surya, worship Chandra, worship Krishna. As soon as they start worshiping Krishna, you know, they know about, you know, that.
And another question is, Neem Karoli Baba, was he teaching Mayavad? Because it seemed like, I mean, I haven't really...
I haven't studied what he teaches, but the chances are very high. It's a mishmash. You know, what I remember from reading Be Here Now, you know, a million years ago, there was nothing about Vedanta Sutra in there, Sharira Kabasha. I mean, you can't really be a Mayavadi of any kind unless you get deeply into this impersonal commentation on Vedanta Sutra. There was nothing like that he gave Baba Ram Das and those guys. You know?
I mean, Ram Das was pretty much impersonalist. He says formlessness is like the highest thing. But I don't know about, you know, Babaji, because some people said he was like an incarnation of Hanuman, like he worshipped Ram. Like, I don't know. Yeah, just...
I wouldn't go there. Yeah. You know, I generally, it's a mishmash. A little from here, a little from there, a little, you know, spirit, you know, try to impress, get some followers, this and that. It's not anything genuine. It's not like we can trace it back to this genuine, you know, because they're genuine Mayavadis. Nah. You know, a bunch of stuff. But it's not as it is bhakti, that's for sure.
Yeah.
which is what the only thing that's going to save us. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.